I'm facing the battle for all of my problems.
And this is the world famous Phil Henry Show. Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. You're listening to a quite an elegant sound from, believe it or not, Lil Wayne and Charlie Puku Woo Woo.
What do you mean, Charlie Puku Woo?
I can't read the name there.
Look at it.
Well, check the name out, will you, bud? I know it's partially it's Lil Wayne. It's
yeah, Charlie Pood. I didn't Charlie Pood, man. Charlie Pood.
Anyway, thank you. And yes, that is a very elegant sound there from Lil Wayne and Charlie Poon. I mean,
just get the name right, would you, Phil?
Well, you're the one that carved out a new ass.
I'm looking here. The album is...
Never mind. It's called Nothing But Trouble. Welcome to the program. Hi, how are you? The Phil Henry program here for a Thursday, and have we done the proper adjustments there, bud?
Yeah, we went in, we checked the azimuth, and we checked out to make the sure. No, basically what we did was we increased the limiting and the compression. Yeah, and then the gating, too.
What are you guys talking about? You know that when they begin to discuss these technical things, Phil, it leaves me in a heap. You know, it
does make the general nervous.
No, what we're saying, General, is we've increased some processing.
I don't know what you mean by process. When anyone says processing to me, I think of cheese, and you know I've got the bowel trouble. Why?
All right, it's fine, General. It's got nothing to do with your bowels. It has to do with the song.
Oh, well, now let everyone know that I have a difficult time passing God.
General, you brought it up.
Thank you. Sorry, General. I didn't mean to upset you. So, what we do have here is a ongoing... Just a little bit of an ongoing situation in the new studio with the new digital board, and we've got... Never mind, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very technical.
No, but so, I mean, yeah, you can't expect that dumbass out there...
Bud, don't call...
Wait a minute, Miss Gray. Let's hold on for a minute.
What gender are we today, by the way?
And what's that supposed to mean?
You go, wait a minute, Miss Gray.
I said, wait a minute, Miss Gray.
You don't...
Hold on for a minute. I'm talking now. Talk about our technical stuff. This is up my alley, not your go up your alley. And no, I don't mean anything dirty.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Now, what Mr. Henry's trying to say is that the
Calm down.
The limiter? I don't know.
Could you let me...
All right, take it easy. The limiter and the processing and all that stuff is fine. Sounds great. Thank you very much for all of your big time help. All right, we're in the process of booking episode number 2 of The Science of the Funny. I'd love to be able to tell you who we have in the bag, but that information is reserved exclusively for our backstage pass members, Margaret Gray.
Yes, and that is correct, Phil. And if you want to be a backstage pass member, of course, you have to have a subscription to the world famous Phil Henry Show website. And you can find out how to do that on the homepage at philhenryshow.com. Until such time as you do have that subscription.
Now, Margaret.
Oh, whoa. I haven't finished talking.
What's with the whoa?
I'm just.
Hold on, General.
Now, until such time as you do have the subscription. Or I mean the subscription.
Yeah, I mean the subscription.
Thank you, Robert. Do you speak French?
No, I don't. I just,
We're pretty much faking it around here, right?
No, you don't fake. It's the French accent, Phil. How many times...
Margaret, can we get to it, please?
All right. The, Well, I don't give a sweet Jesus whether you subscribe or not, but if you do, then you'll get all the inside information.
Yes, you'll find out who we've booked or who Phil booked... For the whatever the thing is.
Yeah, all right, so thanks a lot. That was a great promo.
But what are you leaving it to a... You know, you can't leave it to... No offense to you, Margaret. You can't leave it to her. She's going to take it and she's going to play with it like it's doo-doo. You know.
What in the name of Christ?
You know what I mean.
All right, so what I'm saying is this. With a subscription, and what we're saying is this. With a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, who is this geek...
Man, that guy looks like a freak of nature or something like that.
He's someone in Miami with the big beard. I don't know anyone in Miami that wears those kinds of earth tones. What is that?
I don't know. He's a... Could be a hockey player. He could be a... he could be something. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know anybody in Miami that wears those earth tones?
Every time you go to Miami, anybody that looks like that... Didn't you say they laughed at you in cowboy boots?
Yeah, well, Rick Riley told me when I first got to Miami I was wearing cowboy boots, and he said, Phil, you walk down the street in this town wearing those, people will laugh at you. And,
Did they?
I don't know. Maybe they did. I never stopped wearing them, but I was always mindful of the possibility that I was being laughed at. All right, so now I'm completely confused.
You're talking about the subscriptions.
Well, we were talking about booking the Science of the Funny episode 2. So, yeah, we have it almost three-quarters. We have it two-thirds booked. And one of the things we learned from the first show is that our panel at Four Guys is magnificent. But I think at three, it's going to be perfectamundo. So
you're making the panel a little bit smaller, correct?
Yeah, in other words, you can control the flow of the conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so that to that end, that is what we are going to do-woo, as Margaret likes to say on the show. All right. Tell you what we're going to do is go over to Bob Bakian. We'll also check in with the general here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm trying to think if there's any other news that I want to report to everyone. Things are doing fine. My two triangle palms out in the front of the house are doing swimmingly.
Yes, how do those look now?
They're great.
Now they'll go into shock. You know.
What do you mean shock?
If you don't water them properly, plants will go into shock. You know that, don't you, Phil?
Oh yeah, no, I know that. And we've got this, you know, the sandy soil where we live drains well. And what are you doing, bud?
You fell asleep, Mr. Lincoln. Wake up! I'm sorry.
Oh, he's trying to be a smartass. Bud, come here for a minute.
I didn't do that. Can't stand it.
Yeah, that just reminds you who the big dog is. And no, don't refer to me as a dog. I mean that in a very figurative sense. You understand that, right?
Yeah, when you talk about where the big dog shits.
I didn't say where the big dog shits.
Hey! Come on.
So, yeah, they're doing well, General. Thank you very much.
What about those two little midget palms?
They're called sago palms. Okay, not Sega palms, sago palms. And they're in the front, and they're in little pots. Yeah, they're doing great.
So you're finally getting serious about landscaping. That you have a lovely home right there at the ocean, Phil. Well, not right at the ocean. You don't quite rate that. But for a man, you know, you're doing well.
Gee, thanks a lot. So, yeah, that's doing good. So I think we're all caught up. So let's go over to Bob Bakian with the traffic. Bob, how's it look?
This is Bob Bakian out here with the traffic now. I'm going to tell him to calm down. We've got a leeway over here. There's a man over there trying to get that. I got my leg caught outside the side of the helicopter. Almost didn't take off. If you're heading on down San Diego Way, if you're coming across the side show, there is a very, very crowded two-lane, five-lane, and the six-lane on the three-lane. Over the far light, you've got the light and light it up over there, and your car's going to blow up and explode and be a big ball of fire. Flying past in a big ball of fire. Did I say a big ball of fire? I meant to say a big ball of fire for live. Bob Bakian, traffic.
And this is Harvey Wireman from my home in San Marino, California, with today's Harvey Wireman News Break. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening more and more. A shark bit a 6-8-year-old man several times with knees day in Waiheke.
A shark bit a 68-year-old man.
I got it, Phil. Hold on. A shark bit a 68-year-old man several times Wednesday in waist deep water off North Carolina Outer Banks.
North Carolina's Outer Banks.
North Carolina, what is it?
North Carolina's Outer Banks. You never heard of that?
You never heard of the Outer Banks?
I don't. Look, I can barely find myself to the Crocker National Bank, let alone the Outer Bank, huh?
Crocker National doesn't exist anymore, so the joke really falls flat.
You know what? I gotta hang this goddamn...
Oh, my bad.
My granddaughter's in the room, otherwise I'd slam the phone down on you.
All right, Harvey, we're sorry your jokes aren't making it. Could you just read the news?
What do you mean my jokes aren't making it, you know?
Your jokes ain't making it.
Your jokes ain't making it, Wireman.
Hey, Dickman.
No, I'm just trying to tell you, get some control over this thing. Control yourself.
I don't let any guy with a plate in his head...
I'm telling you now to control yourself.
God damn.
Now just do it.
A hospital spoke a woman and no report on a Kandiki Gongo.
A hospital spokeswoman had no report on his condition.
Wood News Day.
Oh, quit blubbering.
I'm not used to you to yell at me.
Just man up.
The man souffered wound to his rib caga. What's the rib caga?
Rib cage.
Okay, Phil, rib cage.
Phil, have a little bit of gentleness there. He's an old man.
Hey, you see an old man, you come on down and fondle his wiener, because the
All right, thanks a lot, Harvey. Way out of control today.
Wait a minute, you can't hang up on that man. He's a WW2 veteran.
That may well be the case, but I'm not going to have it, I tell you.
Got Harvey on the phone.
What do you mean you got Harvey on the phone?
I mean I got Harvey on the phone. What do you want me to do? The old man's on the phone and he's hopping mad. I'll tell you that right now.
Get him on a phone for me. Hey, Harvey, I'm telling you right now, man, I cannot deal with this kind of bullshit. You understand? I just can't. You cannot come on here and start telling all the foul jokes and trying to...
Hey, let's just say one thing here, okay? I was reading this and, you know, and I come off with a couple of cracks about a bank. Now you got this Gray. She's telling me it stinks. I got everybody's a critic all of a sudden.
Harvey, look, wait, the reason why you're on is to read the news.
And I'm trying to read it. I got you guys interrupting me.
You can't read, man. Rib cage?
I would have figured it out. It was a rib cage. Look at these glasses. I'm still breaking them in. They're brand spanking new. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to be fine. But I don't need anybody telling me how to get it done. Or this Dickman, of all people.
I'm just telling you to pull it together.
Hey, Dickman, I'll come down there and pull you apart. What do you think of that? Yeah. So,
look, just give him another shot at it, will you, Phil? Give him another shot of it.
I don't even know if I want another shot at it.
Look, Harvey, take your time this time and try to keep the jokes to a minimum.
I'll put the jokes in as I see fit. And I just... God damn my ears!
Bud, turn the shit down, will you?
What do you want me to do?
Read it!
A guy got bit, then he got bit in wastewater. And then a shark bit him. Hospital said he's okay. Got bit in a cage, lower leg, hip, both hands, tried to fight the animal. The attack happened about noon on a beach. He's pulled under by the shark. He's swimming in waist-deep water with his adult son, 30 feet. No swimmer's injured. Man is a seven-person attack. I guess he didn't lose anything. Got bit several times. And
what do you mean he didn't lose anything?
He didn't lose his leg or his arm or anything. The most in 1 year, this is the most shark attacks in 1 year in the 80 years for which the Florida Museum of Natural History's International Shark Attack files. Oh, I can't read it. I'm running out of air.
Sure, this is the 80th year that the Natural History's International Shark Attack file has kept records.
The previous total was 5 attacks in 2010, the previous high. 3 of the 52 confirmed shark attacks between 1935 and 1924 were deadly, according to the database. Most of this year's attacks happened in shallow water. The injuries ranged widely from the swath. Oh, God.
All right. Thanks very much, Harvey.
Yes.
I got a mind by the man.
Oh, shit.
You know,
don't say it. Either do something about it or don't say anything about it.
No, I'm actually looking at this shark attack thing. The man is the seventh person,
You know, I couldn't make head nor tail out of this. So what happened?
A guy got attacked by a shark.
I gathered as much.
But what happened was, this is a 68-year-old guy who was bit several times. Doesn't say anything about him losing a leg or anything, or an arm, but he suffered wounds to his rib cage, lower leg, hip, and both hands as he tried to fight off the animal. The director of emergency services said in Hyde County, the attack happened around noon. And so the previous time, let's see, shark experts say the recent spate of attacks along the coast of the Carolinas is due to so many more people getting in the water. So there's more attacks being reported because there's more people being attacked because there are more people in the water.
What does that mean? It means that there's more people out there, then the sharks will have more of a chance to have a snack.
Well, they don't have a snack. Sharks don't like the way people taste.
Well, that's interesting. What do you mean sharks don't like the way people taste?
They don't like the way people taste. Sharks don't eat people.
I beg your... Where's he been? General...
No, they don't.
Margaret, they don't. Sharks don't eat people.
Well, you're saying, in other words, that Steven Spielberg and others have gotten it wrong. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that Steven Spielberg probably got it... He didn't get it wrong on purpose. I think he probably, you know, for excitement purposes, had the animal eat the woman. Because it was such a big damn shark. You talking about that in Jaws?
I don't know. What was the movie that Spielberg did?
It was called, Jesus, Spielberg, and it's called Jaws.
Excuse me, but I'm a film critic.
Margaret didn't get the guy's name right. Steven Spielberg, and it was the movie Jaws.
Phil, I will not be spoken to like that.
That's great. The guy's name is Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg.
You got me done in it.
Steven Spielberg.
There, she got it right that time.
Yes, I looked it up.
All right, well, anyway, I think he probably got it wrong on purpose. And maybe, you know, in Spielberg's mind, the shark was so huge that it couldn't help but swallow half the woman. I have no idea, okay? But the point is, sharks, as the general said, don't eat people. They take one bite. They taste that it's human. They don't like human. They don't want to eat human. We probably have too many bones like trout.
That was pretty good, sir.
Thank you. So they spit us out. And here's the thing. That's a very, very good point there that they're making there.
Yeah, about a lot of people in the water.
Well, it stands to reason. It's mathematical.
Yeah. If you have more people in the water, they are going to be exposed. There's going to be more people exposed to the sharks that are feeding there anyway. And there will be more attacks, and hence there will be more reports. Now, the other thing that I think needs to be discussed, maybe to some extent, is this whole oil spill thing.
Well, you mentioned that. I'm not so sure I'm buying into it. You know?
Well, why not?
Well, look, they've had the oil spill. It was in the Gulf.
Spit it out, General.
Don't tell... Look, let me tell you something. You tell that to the shark. Spit it out. Boy, everybody's really got the cobwebs this morning, don't they?
No, that was okay.
It was a good little line, but, you know, not a belly laugher.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so what?
No, just...
Don't be a baby.
I'm saying... That the oil spill by BP, yeah, sure, it may have affected the wildlife there in the Gulf, and it might have even leached its way around to the Atlantic, I'm sure it did, but to the extent that it's forcing feeding to the shallow grounds, I'm not buying it, not buying it at all. We would have had far more reports of pollutant and resultant slicking, as well as oil globulations and oil collection areas. We've had none of that. Now, in this report that I have here...
General, would you give it a rest?
General, I think you...
Slow down, Phil. Guy's getting nervous because he's talking to a general.
Gary's getting all nervous.
No, I'm not. I'm saying you may have a good point there let's not overstate the effects on the feeding of these animals or where they may... But I have, as you said... Or as I said, and I'm reacting to what you just said. You didn't say this. I did.
Yeah, let the record show you said what you said. I don't want anything to do with what you said, unless you said something good.
Right.
All right. So what I said was... What? What I said was that the fish are feeding closer to the shore, not because I have said this or because I have seen it, but because people I know who fish the coast there have said they're catching marlin closer to shore. They're catching some of these larger fish closer to the shore, and the fishermen have theorized it's because the oil has forced them closer to the shore than they would ordinarily be.
Well, what kind of fish are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about marlin. We're talking about sailfish. These are animals that you will catch miles out, miles and miles out, 10, 15 miles out. They're being caught within three, four miles. Which is pretty close to the shore for a fish like that. So, you know, we'll double back on this one, man, and let you know, sports fans. All right, coming back, we have a very special guest, Rev Duncan, who's a friend of Margaret Gray's, an actor who has opened up a new drug rehab house in Malibu. Right, Margaret?
Yes. Malibu has become very famous for the very fashionable, I don't like to put it that way, I would say the upscale rehabilitative facilities for those who have been under a great deal of strain in a very high-pressure business, such as show business. Rev Duncan is one such man, a very dear friend of mine.
Yes, yes, yes. Gotta hurry it up.
Keep your little mouth. Rev Duncan is a friend of mine.
Dude, you don't get him. You gotta hurry it up.
Will you just shut up, bud? Go ahead, Margaret.
Rev Duncan is a friend of mine.
Who the hell is Rev Duncan?
You know what? All of you guys, take it and stick it up left and then twist it so you get blood. I'm sick of it.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here on the El Pacifico in Southern California is brought to you by
the world famous Phil Hendry Show website. Sign up for our emails. Sign up for our emails and get our... Yeah, sign up for the email and get the email.
Yeah, sign up for the email list.
Yeah, sign up for the email list and you'll get our email. And then get a backstage pass too. Don't be a cheap creep. Don't be one of these cheapies that doesn't understand that your money on the internet, you might as well be pissing it away unless you are subscribing to one of two things, porn and the Phil Henry Show website.
Yeah, get it today.
Welcome back. We are very, very grateful to have with us on the line here, Rev Duncan. Mr. Duncan is a longtime film actor who now owns and operates Los Casablanca in Beverly Hills, California. Rev, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Welcome.
And thank you very much.
I say welcome. Welcome to our facility here in Malibu. It's quite good to have you. I know Margaret has spoken highly of you.
Rev, good morning. It's Margaret.
Yes, Margaret, good morning.
Rev, Phil is here, and General Galen Shaw, and Bud Dickman.
Hi, sir. I'm Bud.
Yeah, yes, you're Bud, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm Robert Lennison.
Yes, Robert. Well, it's wonderful to be speaking with all of you, and I hope that we get to be very well acquainted as the day progresses here.
Rev, if may I call you Rev?
I prefer Mr. Duncan, if you don't mind.
Mr. Duncan, okay, that's fine.
Okay, what do you say?
Who is this, the general again?
Yeah, this is General Shaw.
Yes, I prefer Mr. Duncan. I was an actor on the Shakespearean stage for quite some time. And
all right, are you talking into a garbage can, or...
I beg your pardon?
No, that is the natural speaking point, voice, I should say.
You said speaking point. Is that a joke of some kind?
No, Rev. The natural speaking voice of Rev Duncan. Rev has appeared on stage at the Globe. He's been at the La Jolla Shakespearean Festival, the Festival in the Park in New York.
Well, those don't really highly recommend an actor. In other words, I put on a pair of tights in a park, as they say. No, I've worked with and I've been on the boards with some of the world's great actors and some of the great stage productions. But as it is now, Mr. Henry, you and your audience should know, I have the operator here of Los Casablanca, which was a drug rehabilitation house.
All right. Now, Margaret made the point here, and we discussed, that Malibu has a lot of these kinds of places. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say yes. There's a number of them. I suppose you're saying that, why this competition?
Well, no, I think that I read that Malibu's getting a little bit of a reputation as a place that's being overtaken by these rehab houses.
There's no question about that. Some of these places are quite inferior, I think, because they don't deal really with the problem. They have the actor or the actress, the performer, the singer, the dancer, the tap dancer come in, and they'll lay around the pool, and they'll go into the buffet line, and they'll talk, and they'll eat their carrot sticks, and they'll meditate. And I don't know that it does anybody any real good. You're talking about hardcore junkies. You're talking about the hardcore hypes, needle freaks, cocaine addicts, crank, meth. I've been around them all. I was one myself.
All right, so you had this problem.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, Phil...
No, Margaret, it's all right. I think that Phil and his audience... I was a hardcore meth addict for some 17 years. I used heroin. I was a very, very heavy user of pills, especially speed. There wasn't any degeneration. There wasn't any sewer that I wouldn't crawl in. And by the end of my run as a degenerated, wasted life, I was sleeping wrapped around a toilet, to be honest with you. And
your kid, where was this, sir?
This was in London, England. And I had to get a new start. I came to California and was here. And it was only here that I was taken under the wing of one Jesco Hardwick, who was a director at Equity Waver here in Hollywood, and I took some work there on the stage, and I decided to meet and as many people as I could. I met one woman who was a widow and was very well, shall we say, financed, and certainly my interest in her was not money, but she had a lot of money, and I said, this is an opportunity.
So did this lady finance the drug rehabilitation?
Well, let me finish the story, General, before we go off into all kinds of flights of fancy.
Well, I'm not going into a flight of fancy. I just want to know.
I understand. So I wound up, I was going to say, sleeping with her.
We don't need to know the details of this, Rev. You can tell us, how did Los Casablanca come about?
All right, I just, for full disclosure, though, I wound up... let's say...
Let's say you was intimately involved with it.
I was intimately involved with it. Boy, there's a really creative way of...
You were intimate with this lady.
Yes, I was. And I said to her, I could really love to start this hospital. So she bankrolled the operation, and now we have Los Casablancas. We have some 123 beds. And this is far from any kind of a situation that you're going to be in where the actors are in fact, I'm going down the hall. This is Ward 7 here, Margaret and Phil and everyone. And this is where many of our hardcore cases are. What do you have here, Jim?
Got a guy here that wants to... Let me out, will you?
Go ahead, turn the hose on him if you want.
Yeah.
We have turned the hoses, and we've turned water spigots and this kind of thing, Phil, on a lot of these people who don't have... I guess you could say they don't really have the self-respect that it takes to be... I guess to be people that are... Is he giving you a hard time?
Yeah, don't tell him to leave. Get out! Come on, get back there!
All right, here's Fitz. Watch it. Yeah, that's it, that's it. Get back in there!
What did you do to that man?
Jesus, that sounded terrible.
No, he's trying to give us a hard time. He's one of the actors. The actor that I know so well, the actor must be controlled and can only be... Turn on the electron. Go ahead. Yeah, that does it.
What are you doing to those people? It sounds like it's intense pain.
I am treating these people the way they need to be treated. If you want to get rid of drugs and get rid of drugs in the system, you do not mollycoddle these people and have them sit around koi ponds and self-abuse, shall I put it that way?
That's a very clean way of putting it, yes.
Well, you can put it in a clean way or not. That sounded worse than anything I've ever heard in a torture chamber.
No, it's not torture, for God's sake. This is Malibu, California. Now, what you're hearing in the background, by the way, is the... right now, we're bringing everyone back in from lunch, and you have to pat them down and get them in their cells.
This sounds to me like it's some kind of a prison. Is it? Would you say it's like that?
No, it's not. It's not a prison. But these are cages for these people. You see, Phil... we're not going to fool around with a lot of these people who are used to having craft services wipe their ass and bring them a candy bar. I'm not going to do that. Here's a man here. What is your name? Let me just take it. Break him out of line, will you? What is your name?
My name is Jeffrey.
What's your last name?
Gadsden.
Jeffrey Gadsden, not Kasdan, right?
No, sir.
And what did you do?
I'm an actor.
You're an actor, and were you in any TV shows?
Yes, sir, I was.
All right, what television shows were you in?
I was in Marcy's. I was in The Gray and the Gold. And I did a movie called The Times of Darius Buster.
The Times of Darius Buster. So in other words, you haven't done anything, have you?
I've got a pretty good resume.
All right, but in the meantime, what happened to you, Jeffrey?
I got addicted to crack cocaine. I got addicted to methamphetamine. And I got addicted to heroin. And I got addicted to methadrine. And I got addicted to amphetamine barbiturates, and I got addicted to secondol, and I got addicted to Tylenol.
All right. Anything else?
I had probably a pretty serious problem with I missed cocaine too.
All right. So you were a serious drug addict.
I was a very serious drug addict. Yeah.
Are you off the drugs now, thanks to Los Casablanca? Speak into the phone.
Yes, sir. I am now.
Do you feel better?
I do, yeah, I do.
All right. And do you feel better? Here, I'm going to do something now.
Oh!
I just slapped you. Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I do. Ah!
You feel better now?
Ah!
What are you doing, sir?
Hold on. Do you feel better now? You know you can be honest.
I do. I do.
Get him in there.
Get in.
Ah! Don't you ever lip off to me again.
That kid sounded like he was being nice to you.
That kid, Phil, is 35 years of age who pissed away 15, 20 years of his life. I'm trying to reclaim his life for him. Just because he's nice to me doesn't mean I have to be nice to him. And if I ever see you doing drugs again, do you know what I'm going to do?
You'll come into my cell and kick me to death?
That's exactly right. And that is the promise here at Los Casablanca.
I should interject here, Phil, at this time. Los Casablanca has a very unusual policy.
Well, I'll say it is. Talk about going into a guy's cell.
And hold on, General, if I may. Los Casablancas has a very unusual policy. The director, Rev Duncan, promises that if you do not get off of drugs, if you do not clean up, he will come into your cell and kick you to death.
That's exactly right.
Really? And how do you stay out of jail?
I stay out of jail by having them sign away their rights, saying that if I do kick them to death, it was because they attacked me and I was in fear for my mortal life. So you see, I...
Well, you're on the radio right now saying the whole thing's a setup.
Yeah, well, prove it. Yay! Prove it.
I can prove... What do you mean, prove it? They put you on trial.
What do you... You want to put me on trial, and you want to relegate all of the souls here in Hollywood, California, these actors, with their drug problems, relegate them to the sewers, to the burning, and to... I can't... You want to relegate them to a hot foot in hell because you want me in jail because you don't like the fact
that I'm here to die.
What is that?
Here I am. I'm talking around.
Are you making fun of me, Duncan?
Yeah, I'm making fun of you. Can you drink?
This is something that Rev does. It's called reverse... It's reverseism. Not reverse psychology, but reverseism. Do you know it?
No, I don't know. I don't have any screwy ideas. This guy has got... I don't want to know.
I don't want to see you do.
All right, Mr. Duncan, if you don't mind, would you please not do that?
If you don't mind, would you not do that?
Yeah, I don't like it, do you?
No, I don't like it. In fact, I'd come into that place and kick you to death in a cell.
Oh, you would kick me to death and relegate the junkie. The junkie! To a life of hell.
Look, you don't control the lives of junkies or actors or whatever the hell else you got down there. You're just one man.
Yes, I am one man, and I'm trying to do a job that the rest of these hoi polloi, these tidy-whitey, these little dainty, little Red Riding Hood, little dainty miss places, these drug rehab places where you get to sit and stick a sprig of peppermint up your ass. God. Hold on for a minute. I've got to take a phone call. Rev Duncan, hello. Yes, yes. My car is parked where? I paid the police to... Why are you telling me? Go move my car. Go move my car. You, what's your name?
Wally.
Move my car. They're telling me my car is double parked, Phil.
Well, don't you have to get that thing out of there?
I move it when I feel like moving it. And only then do I move it. You see, Phil, and...
I don't kill it!
Hold on, we got another one loose.
Got one loose here. I don't care!
What do you think you're doing, huh?
Mr. Duncan, I can't take it anymore.
What do you think you're doing? Come here.
Ow!
Huh?
Ow! Ow!
You dirty, stinking, rotten, crawling actor. You lousy junkie! You come into this town, you think you want to be cast in the biggest movies, you don't get the job, and what do? You wind up staring out on the street! Isn't that what happens?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you bet it does. Now I'm going to make your mother wish she never had you. Get into that cell. I'll make them learn. I'll make them learn. If they want the big job in Hollywood, they want the big... Then get out of here. Please help me. Hold on for a minute. I'll be right with you.
What is this place?
Rev knows what he's doing, Phil.
That guy doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing any more than the average Jack Paul does. You might as well put some lunatic himself in charge of that place.
All right, okay. Stand him up. Stand him up straight. So, you want to play games with me, huh?
You'll never get away with it, Duncan.
Throw him back in there. Throw him in there. Throw him into the cage.
Not the cage. Not the cage.
Your work. I am outraged. Put the hose on him. I am outraged. Absolutely outraged.
I can tell you this, Mr. Duncan. There've been a lot of places in Hollywood and Malibu and elsewhere that have been drug rehab places down through the years.
Oh, am I going to get the speech?
Yeah, Rev, he does this.
Oh, Rev, he does this, huh? Is that what I do?
Hey, look at Rev. You know, remember that Cynodon? What was the name of that place?
Yeah, Cimarron.
No, not Cimarron. Cynodon.
I know about Cynodon. What about it?
That place was just like your place. Beat people up. Some kind of a weird-ass cult or something.
My place isn't a cult. My place cleans up junkies. We clean up junkies. And we do it in a manner that I think is humane. Far more humane than half of these toilet bowls you go into these days.
No, I say to you, and I say to you now, that you're not going to turn Rab's place, Rab's Los Casablanca. Hold on. Where are you going?
Hello, man.
Put him back on those chains. Get him into cell three.
Please, sir, get into cell three.
Rav Duncan is a man to be reckoned with. You better goddamn well believe that. And when I say that, yeah, that's it. How does chains feel now?
Rev, I don't think people understand that junkies and hypes and needle freaks and pill heads and all of these people, all of these rockheads, they need to be dealt this way.
That's exactly correct, Ms. Gray. And don't make any mistake about it. I will deal with them. I, and only I, Rev Duncan, will deal with them.
You know, you got the ego of a guy that, that sounds like one of these cult leaders. You have the ego of one of these guys that winds up doing more harm than he does good.
Oh, and what psychology degree do you have, Mr. Henry?
I don't need a psychology degree to read you. And I read you loud and clear, pal. You're one of these guys, you like to, you know, run the show. You like to tell people that the what they're doing, what's going on now.
Hold on, hold it down, hold it down, hold it down, hold it down, hold it down. Yeah, I love it, I love it. See, you hear that woman screaming, Phil?
Yeah.
She was in a movie of the week about 2 weeks ago now. Yeah, yeah. Get her, Bill. Hold her other hand. Yeah. She was in a movie of the week, a Lifetime movie. Well, she ain't in any movie anymore. This is deadly serious. All right, so I can tell you.
All right, well, you wouldn't mind if we had the police or the city authorities go over there and look at the place.
Be my guest. I've had those clowns in here. I'll give them a guided tour. I'll let them see. All right, Bill, knock it out. That's enough. I'll give them a guided tour of this place. No one, and I mean no one, tells Rav Duncan how it's done, when it's done, who does it, why they do it, what they do it to, and why they... Wait a minute. What did I just hear? All right, we got a breakout somewhere. Breakout three. Yeah.
Breakout three.
All right, we're going to have to run down. Something going on here. I don't know.
What is going on, Rav?
Right now, I think we've got some... somewhere there's been a breach in security here. Breach in the wall. All right, let's get out and fight it out. But, make sure you tase them. So this is a place where you can come, Phil, and get cleaned up. You can come and, I think you can come and feel very, very much like you're going to make progress with your life.
Oh, yeah, sounds great.
Oh, you know what? Don't be such a pussy. This place, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the top six or seven places in America where you can get your... Guy, get him now. Get him now. Hold her down now. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. Do you have that? Yeah.
I'm sorry, all right. Sir, I'm not doing anything.
This place will get rid of your drug problem and everything else you want. You try to... And I can tell you...
Oh, my God!
What the hell is that, Margaret?
That is Rev... Don't you dare look at me as if it's my fault. That's Rev Duncan, and Rev Duncan gets it done.
Yeah, he gets it done. He's got to go all the way to prison.
Oh, you and what army?
Do you believe in that guy's methods? I'm listening to people being beat. I'm listening to people getting tased. I'm listening to people being, wrapped up in chains. You know?
God, Phil, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see Phil's face, but it's all... His teeth are all bucked out, and he's all... People wrapped up in chains?
Well, Ms. Gray, you have to answer for it.
What do you mean, I have to answer for it?
That's right.
What do you mean, I have to answer for it?
Margaret, you endorse this guy. This is going to go down on your resume as something that you support.
I'll tell you this right now. If it cleans up half of these scumbags...
You know, Margaret, you're only pissed off because you don't get half the interviews you think you ought to get.
How dare you? You make me sound like I'm some kind of a lightweight, like I can't score the interview that I want to score. You're full of crap.
Well, you do. You get pissed off when you can't score these interviews. You get pissed off. You call these actors all kinds of names. And then you wind up getting, you know, like this, supporting some guy. This guy's torturing people.
Where did you hear torture? And don't tell me because he was tasing that one woman.
I heard a lady being dragged, beaten. Then I heard another guy get his, some kind of a machine or something.
That is a saltwater defoliation. All right, they defoliate the skin. Isn't that what they do?
I have no idea. Defoliate? Isn't that something that you do industrially?
Yeah, you do the defoliation on the skin.
And they use a saltwater stream.
Well, there's something going on over there a lot more than saltwater streams.
Well, don't say stream like someone's peeing on someone. Oh, God. You really got a mind.
No, it's not my mind. It's your mind. It's your mind. All right, Don Berman is next to talk to us about something a little bit more uplifting, ladies and gentlemen. The life of Nicholas Winton. Mr. Winton died at the age of 106, and it was only in the year 1988. He just died yesterday. It was only in 1988 when Mr. Winton's wife found a scrapbook did she find out that he had spent World War II saving the lives of some close to 700 Jewish children from Czechoslovakia on the eve of World War II. Had he not gotten those children out, they would have met the same fate that no doubt their parents did. As you know, the Nazis were exterminating Jews in Europe, and here's a man at the beginning of World War II, got 700 children out. He just died at the age of 106, and the world knew nothing of his exploits. He himself said nothing until this scrapbook was discovered. It's a pretty interesting story. Don Berman to talk about it, coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, inviting you to stick around, because we're going to have I believe we're going to have the drawing, right, Phil?
I thought we were going to have the drawing, but I guess not. Okay. Who is the winner of our microphone, man? Oh, yeah. We are going to have the drawing of our microphone, the winner of our microphone on the show right now here in just a couple of minutes.
Well, that was great. Way to really promote it, Phil.
I'm sorry. All right, so, Bud, have you got the box?
It's right here. These are the names.
We're going to draw right now for the name of the guy that wins or the girl that wins our microphone, Phil Hendry's old studio mic. And let me reach in here and grab it. And here it is. The name is Scott Kulis.
Hey!
Now, where is he from? What does he do? What do you know?
Nothing. I don't know anything about him. His name is Scott Kulis. Scott is the winner of our microphone. And Scott, congratulations. You now take the hallowed and sanctified and sanctimonious and whatever else it is, Phil Hendry Show Electrovoice microphone, and put it wherever the hell you want to put it, which includes a garbage can.
Hey!
Way to do it, Scott. You are the winner, Scott Kulis, of the Phil Hendry Show mic, one that graced our studios here for many a day. And congratulations to you, Scott. He is one of our BSPs. You could only be in the contest, of course, if you were a Backstage Pass member. Okay, Don Berman is joining us here. I believe he's at... I don't know where he is, man. Where is he at today?
I think he's down at Del Grande.
At the Del Grande racetrack in Del Grande, California. It's Don Berman. Tell you what's happening right now is, as I mentioned to you, Don is going to be talking with us about the life of Nicholas Winton. And I didn't know that you were out at the track, Don. I apologize if this is going to be a little bit uncomfortable for you.
Oh, no, it's fine, Phil. I think we're going to be fine. I just I saw Bill... Carsonelli. Bill was an old sportscaster of mine over when I was on in Santa Barbara. No, this is going to be fine, and yes, Nicholas Winton, Phil, was an amazing man. He passed on yesterday, as you mentioned, at the age of 106, and I don't think you could ever really overstate the importance of a man like this. And as you indicated, his wife was the one who found the scrapbook that told the story of the 669 children that this man was... Hold on for just a minute. Is that the post? I put up... Phil, just a moment. I want across the board on Willie's Boy, and I want across the board on Left 4 Dead. Yeah, and don't screw it up, okay?
I want to get big.
No, you go get your hamburger. And Nicholas Winton, Phil, was a man of incomparable and incomparable and unconsequential... he was a man of... great... I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. This is a big race for me.
You know, do you want to talk about Nicholas Winton, or you want to be at the track?
I'm at the track right now, Phil, but I'm talking about... Boy, what a pair you got on you.
Yeah, Phil, let the guy bet a couple of horses.
Yeah, thank you very much, General.
Well, I agree with Phil, though, Don. You should be concentrating on the interview.
I'm concentrating on the interview. Give me my ticket. We're going to go off. Okay. Yeah, Nicholas Winton, Phil... In 1988, Nicholas Winton's wife found a scrapbook in the attic of their home at Maidenhead. A dusty record of... Hold on for a minute. Come on, you piece of shit. Which one? Where is he?
I got the blue still.
Yeah. He's on the outside. All right, here it comes. Left for dead. Hold on, Phil. This is a big race. Hold on. Come on, baby. Come on, left for dead. Come on, you piece of shit. Come on, you piece of shit. Come on, you dirty son of a bitch. Come on, you... Where's the other horse I got?
Willie's place, but...
He's in the middle of the pack. He's getting jammed in the middle of the pack. God damn it, he's on the rail. Come on, you piece of shit. Come on, you piece of shit. Come on, you piece of... Come on, you dirty. You dirty, filthy, fuck, god damn. What a whore. God.
And winner. Hold on, I'll take it.
Hold on, wait a minute. This is Stewart's, Stewart's inquiry.
Hold on, ticket for a steward's inquiry. Hold on, Phil, they got a steward's inquiry.
Well, isn't that nice? I'm so happy to hear.
What an asshole. What's your problem?
We're waiting to hear the story of Nicholas Winton.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Nicholas Winton was a man among men, Phil. If it wasn't for Nicholas Winton, I doubt that any of us would really have the lives that we have. In all of his ensuing honors and accolades after this scrapbook was found, Mr. Winton was a very reluctant hero, often compared to Schindler, the ethnic German who saved 1,200 Jews by employing them in his enamelware and munitions factories, and also to Mr. Wallenberg, the Swedish businessman. Hold on for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, all results are final.
Fuck!
Nicholas Winton was a man who was compared to Nicholas... Fuck! God, is that...
You know, you're yelling out fuck in the middle of the description of this great man's life.
I apologize. I can't believe they gave that to that guy. Bill, just would you just...
Will you either redo the story about this guy Winton or get off the air?
Look, I just want you to understand. My horse, Left for Dead, was in the middle of the pack and he was about to break out, and the jockey on Clarion's call must have hit about 5 or 6 times with his whip.
Yeah, it happens.
Oh, does it happen? Okay, well then, thank you, Jerry Longdon.
Wow, fuck. Hey, you know something, Don? You can do anything you want. You can be at the track. Don't you dare use the F word in relation to me.
I'm sorry.
Don, I'm very shocked. This is a great man we're talking about, and you're at the racetrack like a slob, like a bum.
Wait, but... there's a post call. Go, please, Phil, hold on.
I'm going to hang the phone up.
All right, I'll get away. Here they go. They're off. All right, Nicholas Winton, Phil, as I mentioned, this is a man here, I'll tell you the story. I swear to God. This is a long story, though. This thing goes on forever and ever and ever. But Mr. Winton lived, as I mentioned, in World War II. He said nothing for a half of a century.
The story?
Yeah. He said nothing for a half a century about his role... After finding his wife found his long-hidden scrapbook crammed with names, pictures, and letters from family and travel documents, he gave her a general idea. Oh, this piece of shit.
You got it on Boo?
I had it on Boo, and I had it on Mrs. O'Leary's cow. Come on! What a dog. Okay, that's fine, Phil. I'll read about Nicholas Winton. I've lost $6,000 today, but that's okay.
That's your problem, man.
Yeah, I know. It's my problem, man. Nicholas Winton...
You're reading about a great man who saved lives and you're worried about your money at the track. Somebody ought to throw you in front of just a stampede of... You ought to be trampled to death in a cow and a cattle with the cow drive and the rowdy Yates.
Yes, there you go, rawhide.
Oh, you want me trampled to death in some kind of a rawhide... in a rawhide nightmare, is that it?
Yes, a little bit.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you hung up, Don. I'm very glad you hung up.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with him.
I know what's wrong with him. He's an addicted gambler, just like he's an addicted alcoholic, just like he's a drug user, just like he's a degenerate.
But he's on the program talking about this man.
Let me just give people... I'm going to tell you this, folks. Look up the name Nicholas Winton, and you will find out just amazing, amazing and wonderful things about this guy. Here is a guy that saved the lives of 669 children... before World War II began. Now let me just make sure that we're where we ought to be. Oh, God, we're all over the fucking place here. This is a guy who reluctantly let his wife explore this material that he'd saved. She gave the scrapbook to a Holocaust historian. A newspaper article followed. Then a BBC television program featured the story of his rescues. And then the publicity went worldwide. He was showered with praise. The Czech Republic's highest award, Honorary Citizenship of Prague, an American congressional resolution, letters of appreciation from President Bush, Prime Minister Tony Blair, former President Azar Weizmann of Israel, and people from around the world, a nomination by the Czech Republic for the Nobel Peace Prize. His scrapbook went to the Holocaust Memorial in Israel. The streets and schools were named after him. Statues went up in Prague and London. And why did he do it? He never really explained, though he offered a bare rationale in an interview with the New York Times in 2001. He said, quote, "One saw the problem there, that a lot of these children were in danger, and you had to get them to what was called a safe haven. And there was no organization to do that. Why did I do it? Why do people do different things?" he says. "Some people revel in taking three children of, let's see, what some people revel. I might have the wrong page here, folks. Forgive me if I do. Some people revel in Prague. Some people revel. Some people revel. I think I'm, no. Maybe it's just some people revel in taking credit. I don't know.
Well, where is it, Phil?
I'm sorry. I got all these pages mixed up in the middle of all this crap that was going on.
Oh, don't start blaming other people, Phil.
Yeah, Miss Jerry. Don't blame other people for the problems what you have.
Hey, Jack. I'm sitting here trying to keep this nut house. Some people revel. Well, they're quoting him. I really want to read this quote. I don't know. I don't know. And there's no... but anyway, he said some people revel in taking the three children of Rudolf and Barbara Wertheimer. His parents were of German Jewish origin, been converted to Christianity, and changed the family name to Winton. The father was a merchant banker, and Nicholas and his siblings, Bobby and Charlotte, grew up in a 20-room mansion in West Hampstead, London. He and Bobby were skilled fencers, and late in life established the Winton Cup, a major British competition in the sport. Well, he just... he's an amazing guy. Let's put it that way. You read the article. It's all over the place. It's about Nicholas Winton. He's dead at the age of 106, having gone through an adventure that could have easily have gotten him thrown into a concentration camp had the Germans or the Nazi authorities in Czechoslovakia found out who he was. It could have cost him his life. But you know something? You're saving kids. And he asked the question, why do some people do what they do? All right.
Well, you know, but you didn't answer the question.
I'm sorry. All of the pages of the news story, folks, got fucked up, and it's all my fault, and I apologize, and I'll never, you know.
Yeah, well, it's too late now, Phil.
Yeah, it's too late now, Phil. Thanks very much, folks, for listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I do appreciate each and every one of you for being with us. The Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by me. It's screwed up by me. It's misread by me. I'm the guy that...
All right, well, don't, you know, now you're just looking for sympathy.
Yeah, you want a lot of ladies to write in and say you're... They want to do it with you.
I had to belt you just for saying. Yeah. Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by me. I'm the guy that has to put up with that guy. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved here on Podcast One.